How much is your property worth? Call Harris Partners today. With Harris Partners, you'll know what your property is worth, not what it might be worth. For your free, no-obligation, accurate property valuation, call Harris Partners today on 1300-HARRIS.
Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade. Thanks to Bankwest. Go low with a Bankwest business loan at bankwest.com.au/low rate.
And Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com and the online platform Scaffold is with me now in the studio talking shares tonight. Hello there, Roger.
I'm well, Ross. How are you?
Very well. We've already got calls on the board wanting to have a chat with you.
Delighted to hear it.
We have a guest on with you tonight.
Okay, great.
And I want to take you to this. This is an interesting thing. And I should put this into context for people. This is part of a 25-minute speech about a range of issues. This is the perspectives from one stockbroker who said in this particular speech that there are five key questions that every one of his clients always asks him.
Right.
And question number three that he responded to and got headlines out of is, why does BHP always underperform? Right?
Right.
Okay. Now, the man from Taylor Collison, the stockbroking firm, who addressed the PayDirt 2012 South Australian Resource Energy and Investment Conference is Michael Whiting, who joins us now on the line. G'day, Michael. How are you going?
G'day, Ross and Roger.
G'day. I've tried to put this in context because I can understand a stockbroker saying this about BHP Billiton and saying that it underperforms is going to be a fairly controversial thing because, of course, it's not necessarily a good thing to be telling the company in particular that it's not necessarily doing much to enhance shareholder value. But that is precisely what you have said, isn't it, Michael?
The question was a lot more along the lines of, I said, why has it been underperforming? And my remark to that was because they've made a number of very bad decisions over the last, let's say, 15 or 20 years.
Mm. Many of them in the first decade of those 15 years.
Sorry, what was that?
Roger Montgomery with me. You reckon in the first part?
I think the first decade of those 15 years, that's absolutely right.
Although I would say that here, Michael indicates that even the latest deal that they've done has also been diluting value, plus a number of the potential takeovers and mergers that they try to get up with. Rio Tinto, for example, Potash Corporation of Canada, that this has also not enhanced the shareholder value. That was your argument, wasn't it, Michael?
It was, and it was a question about investors and where they sit and why is the company underperforming. And the most recent one was the Petrohawk deal in the US, where they bought shale gas assets for in the order of $13 billion, which I think they're probably going to have to take a substantial capital write-off because they bought it at the wrong time at the wrong price.
So you believe that much of this comes down to management buying the wrong assets at the wrong time?
Well, I think everything comes down to management at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Well, I agree with that, and I also think that management ultimately are responsible for the prices paid for the assets that they buy, and if they pay too much, then what you find is the return on equity starts to drop or flatline, and when that happens, then the share price can't go anywhere, and that's probably an explanation for the underperformance.
Which is probably not an unreasonable thing. The other one you've also pointed back to is even the merger between BHP and Billiton, the South African company, and you still believe, even to this day, Michael, that the BHP shareholders got less of that than what they were probably entitled to.
I think they gave away 41 or 42% of the company for assets that would subsequently be found to be worth substantially less than 42% of BHP. The assets of BHP are making enormous amounts of money out of their traditional assets of coal and iron ore, and they've had them for many, many years, and to a lesser extent their oil and gas assets. And I think that Western Mining, probably Olympic Dam, has probably been a good decision for them back in the early 2000s, but I struggle to see the major good decision since then.
Michael, I'm interested to know what your thoughts are on the idea that breaking up the company and having the assets listed as separate entities, whether or not you think that might restore some of that value that you've described that's been destroyed.
I think there's no doubt that the sum of the parts in BHP would be worth more than the share price as it is.
Mm.
BHP is not a company that basically can ever be taken over because it's the world's biggest miner, and I know when you say never, you should never say never.
Unless Apple wants to diversify.
which is unlikely, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, it might even be a big bite for Apple.
Yeah.
But I think the sum of the parts is worth more. And let me also say that I have many clients who have got BHP shares, but it is a genuine question that they ask. Why is it then underperforming? And that is, to me, the logical answer that you've got for that question. And is there a better way to realise those assets? I think splitting the company up would be one interesting way to go. I don't think it'll ever happen.
No.
But they are worth more than the share price.
People lose their jobs and they get paid less on smaller companies.
Michael Whiting, director of Taylor Collison, and it's a really interesting debating point, this, because if the directors are there to act in the interest of the shareholders and maximise the shareholders' value, surely what Michael says and what you're saying is the prospect of breaking it up or at least putting some parts of it into separate entities and unlocking the shareholder values is in the shareholders' best interests.
Well, that might be true, but also remember, while in theory the directors are there to serve the shareholders, who are the owners, sometimes vested interests actually prevent the best outcomes from happening.
What, you're kidding?
Yeah, well, we could talk about Spotless, for example.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I'll leave you there, Michael. I appreciate your time very much. And I do know that's a controversial thing for a stockbroker to say.
Sure, absolutely.
So Michael, really gone out on a limb to say that. And that's the reason why I tried to put it in the context in which it was delivered. Appreciate your time, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure. Thanks, Ross. Thanks, Roger.
That's good. I want to now go to Spotless very quickly.
Sure.
Okay, so the takeover's on.
Pacific Equity Partners are
there wanting to take over
$2.71,
one of the largest services companies in Australia right now. Mm. Good value for the shareholders?
Great value for the shareholders. Take it and run.
Really?
The business is not worth that much. It hasn't been worth that much for a very long time. The intrinsic value of this business hasn't grown a cent in a decade. I'm a little bit surprised that the board hasn't been quicker to actually accept this. I can understand what they're doing. They're acting in shareholders' best interest by extracting the best price. It is a very good price compared to the intrinsic value of the company.
Peter Smedley, the old boss of Colonial and the old boss of the State Bank of New South Wales. He bought the State Bank of New South Wales. He's the man who's the chairman there. He's also had a swing at everybody else, all the investors and others who are not happy with the way the directors are performed.
It's right that CEOs and chairmen of public companies sometimes look at big shareholders, institutional shareholders, and say, look, they're there for a quick buck. I think sometimes that's true. But in this case, the bid is excellent, and shareholders are well served by accepting it, I think.
Okay, let's go to Trevor and Sinclair now. G'day, Trevor. You can ask Roger a question.
Yeah, g'day, Roger. I was just wondering if what your intrinsic value on M2 Telecommunications is and if you'll be participating in the renounceable rights issue.
Yeah, so we in the Montgomery Private Fund that we run for a small number of clients, we have taken our rights, and we do own M2 in the fund, and we have taken up...
Explain the company to people.
Okay, so M2 Telecommunications is essentially a business-to-business telecommunications company. They provide telephone services. So you set up a small business and you want phone systems put in and you want to be connected to the internet and phone lines connected, they'll do that for you. And one of the interesting reasons why they survive is apparently they're in a space that Optus and Telstra just aren't that interested in or don't think is big enough for them. And so M2 has made an interesting name for itself by growing in that business. But I think they're actually starting to mature. They're not getting a lot of organic growth. And so they're now making larger acquisitions to get some growth in their profits and in their revenues. So they've just made an acquisition of Ironet. Oh, sorry. You want to say something, Ross?
No, just pick it up there. Okay. Trevor, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to move on to one last question I've got for you before we go.
Yes.
One of your favourite stocks you've mentioned a lot on this program. We haven't got long to go. JB Hi-Fi, again, had another profit downgrade.
Yep.
Does that mean that the stock is less worth holding today than it has been in the past, because it has been one of your favourite stocks?
I actually, and remember that we've previously owned this company and we've subsequently made a profit by selling it and we don't own it currently. We're looking at it very closely. In fact, at our investment committee meeting today, we had a big discussion about whether or not the impact of the cyclical upturn in the economy will overwhelm the structural decline from people shifting to online. We think they're going to come good, but we're not ready to buy them just yet.
0.5% interest rate cut today will help all of the retailers we indicated to you earlier. Roger Montgomery from rogermontgomery.com joins us here on Tuesday on Money News. Thanks for your time, Roger.
Thank you, Ross.
And that is the program for this evening. So the Reserve Bank did the right thing. Now we'll wait to see what the banks do. We'll find out tomorrow night right here on Money News.